Move That Caboose. On this episode of Jack Daniel's Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody, in association with Bad Boy Mowers, Chad and Rob Knatzer are talking about the F word, fat.
1 pound of fat is equivalent to 3,500
calories. 3,500
calories.
Some of it's going to be used for just general energy to keep you alive. Some of those calories are used to build muscle or keep the muscle tissue where it is, maintenance. Extra calories are going to go towards fat. So if you're not burning calories, then yes, your body's storing them.
It's never too late to start. Consistency breeds results.
If you want to make changes and you're in your 40s, it's got to be 3 days would be pushing it. You're probably looking at 4 days a week. Those 4 days a week don't have to be 3 hours in the gym, and that's where a lot of people lose it, is you can do a lot in 45 minutes.
This episode of Jack Daniel's Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody is powered by Bad Boy Mowers, Mow With An Attitude, plus Mickey Thompson Tires, Flask App, and Gator Coolers. Get ready to work it out with Chad and Rob.
All right, we're back. This Life Ain't For Everybody. We're going to talk fat today. Fat. This is 1 pound of fat.
That is okay. 1 pound of fat.
This is what one pound of fat would actually
be. A representation
look like.
Of 1 pound of fat.
So if I go away on a 5-day vacation where I eat a little bit off and I have some drinks and I don't exercise as much as my routine usually allows me to, how long does it take me to, there's no way I gain this in five days.
No, that's, so we talk about all the time, right? When we travel, it's hard to be on a routine. So you gain some weight. Most of that's probably water weight. But if it is consistent over time, then what's your body got to do with it? It's got to do something with those extra calories. And for us, it stores it as fat. So ultimately, if that were your normal routine and that's what you always do, then your body's got to lay that fat down, and that's what it is.
So
fat is a storage unit. You know, our bodies had to store, if you go back a billion years ago or 100,000 years, whatever you want to do, food wasn't it always at the ready like it is now, right? So your body would have to create some form of storage so that if it was famine time or you got snowfall for a week and you couldn't hunt, you had some reserves. That's your reserve.
How long?
The problem these days is that's a huge reserve. How long?
Yeah, long.
So it's 3,500 calories is what's there. So, you know, if you had, let's say you had 5 pounds of fat and you, this is just a rough approximation, but you had 5 pounds of fat, that'd probably last you, if you weren't eating and you had fluids or you were getting some water in or very low calories, that'd probably last you a couple weeks. But probably in that process, Chad, you'd be eating some of your lean tissue too. So I don't know how that would look, but your body would be breaking down reserves. First, it would be easier to break down the fat than the muscle ultimately, but it's going to take whatever it needs to break down reserves to keep you alive, keep you functioning.
Before we go into how we get rid of it, how long does it take to get this? If I'm not working out, if I'm eating pretty bad,
yep.
Couple fast food meals a day or a week,
yep.
Having some beers, how long does it take a regular human being, a standard human being, to gain a pound of
gain
this fat?
Gain a pound of fat.
This seems like a lot of...
It's a lot.
This is a lot of mass to take a part of your body up.
Yep.
Men are usually going to store this in their belly.
Yes.
How long does it take to put that on?
Total guess, because it would really depend on... There's so many variables, it'd be really tricky. I'd say to actually put a pound of fat on...
I'm talking no exercise at all.
Yeah.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. You know,
21 days.
Well, depending. I mean, if you're just laying in bed, your weight would change, right? Because your lean tissue wouldn't be doing anything. So that's going to be dropping off. But your fat, your adipose tissue would be probably gaining. So that's where it would be really tricky. It'd be hard to figure out how exactly that would occur. But your body, and we're all different, but your body is going to do everything it can to keep you processing and keep you alive. So if it needs to add the extra calories you're doing, if it needs to go to fat, that's what it's ultimately going to look like.
Okay, so 1 pound of fat is equivalent to 3,500
calories? 3,500
calories. So if I eat 3,500 calories in a day,
yep.
Does it matter what those calories are, protein, carbs, anything?
They all will go towards storage if you're not using them. Now, getting them to that fat kind of process, going that way is way easier than going somewhere else. So some of it's going to be used for just general energy to keep you alive, right? If you're working out, some of that, some of those calories are used to build muscle or keep the muscle tissue where it is, maintenance. Extra calories are going to go towards fat. So if you're not burning calories, then yes, your body's storing them. Now, the trick there, though, it may not look like that all the time because you're going to put fat, your blood might be carrying a little extra fat. So the fatty acids that travel in the blood, your liver is going to be holding some of that because it's processing. So the liver has calories in it for energy use and utilization. But ultimately, the extra calories are going to take that form more of what you see on the surface. But then there's also some around the lining of the heart and the lining of the organs and some of that deep fat, that internal fat that we talk about.
So when you talk about body fat percentage, Rob, how much of this right here, you can go online and find out what a pound of fat looks like. I'm holding a replica representation of it in my hand. How much is, let's say, 18 to 20% body fat, mm-hmm. which is pretty healthy.
Yeah.
It's pretty considered good for that, you know, probably the 40-year-old age range.
Yep. Yep.
Is there a bunch of this in your body with 18 or 20%? I know your body's made up of bones and muscle. Right?
Yep.
So, but this is going to be broke down between your thighs, your inner thigh, your ass, your stomach, your neck.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And that's why you may not notice that at a lower weight, but ultimately, like we'll talk about, your body's going to put it wherever it can, right? It's going to put fat, it's going to store wherever. So typically on the male, it's above the waistline and the gut and the beer belly, the love handles, that area. Typically for a female, it's below the waistline. So more the butt, the thigh, the leg. But ultimately, if you keep putting it on, for a guy, it'll be in the chest, the upper back, the neck, you know, it's going to go everywhere.
And how do you, would you define the term skinny fat to where you see a guy or a girl that's not really considered obese, or you wouldn't even say they're overweight.
Yep.
But then you might see a guy with his shirt off and he's not in shape, but he's not in clothes. He doesn't look, you could tell obesity in clothes. Like, so skinny fat, you've heard that term before.
Totally.
Does that just mean that you don't have any muscle and that your fat is kind of just taking over? You just don't have a lot of luck.
You've got a bad representation of lean muscle and body fat. So yeah, you're probably a little bit lower on the lean tissue side or quite a bit lower and your body fat's higher. So using this kind of the same numbers you did, 18 to 20% is a good range. Somebody might be say 25, 30. We actually have one. It's pretty cool. Maybe I should have brought it in. It's a good question. But we have a young man who's mid 20s. He did a DEXA scan a year ago. He's pretty tall. He's probably 6'5", played basketball in high school. He's only 6 years removed from playing basketball. His DEXA scan, almost 30% body fat. And I wouldn't have guessed it because he's tall and slender. So there's a lot of space for that fat to lay. You know, you didn't notice it. Now, he's in the gym more often. He's pushing the weights. He's 20%. So in a year, he's 10% different. That 30%, he was skinny fat. So 30%, let's say his weight hasn't changed. So we'll use 200 for real easy. So he was 140 pounds, lean tissue, bone, organs, right? 60 pounds fat if he was 30% body fat.
60 of these?
Yeah.
In a tall, skinny frame?
Tall, skinny guy.
No
60
shit.
Pounds. So now some of it's in the blood. Some of it's, you know, around the organs.
But a lot
that you're
of
not
it's
gonna see. But a lot of it's that. And if you were to pinch him, if you'd been, you know, if you'd been around people a lot and you do the calipers and you do that, I might have noticed it. Because totally from looking at him, I would have never seen
it. You would
have
never guessed it.
Now he's 20%, meaning if he's still at the same weight, 200 pounds, now he's at 160 pounds, lean tissue, organs, bones, and only 40 pounds of fat. That's a way better place for him to be because now he's in that 18, 20. Probably ultimately it'd be better if we got him down 17, 18%. But he's in a really good range for where he's at. He wouldn't be considered skinny fat anymore. But there's some of those people, Chad, if we use that same number, 200, and they might be 40%. So they're looking at almost 80 pounds fat and only 120
so
lean.
That's,
so
that's
you're getting into a bad
that's
range.
That's got to be way more unhealthy
than
being 220 with 20% body fat, but a lot of lean and a lot of strength.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Explain that to me, though. Like, when you see somebody that's small, you would think, man, that person's Like, do you have to be a big fat fatso to have a heart attack?
No, no. God, no.
If you got 60 pounds of fat on a skinny frame, that's detrimental to your blood, your heart, everything.
Everything. Because the biggest thing, and we've talked about this one other time, that fat is live tissue, right? It has to be fed by blood, but it doesn't do anything actively except it's a storage for calories to be used at a later date. But that's got to be kept alive. That pound of fat right there, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but it's like 10,000 miles of little teeny arterials that will feed that fat to keep it alive. Think of that on the heart. So that's tissue that's just got to be kept alive, but doesn't really do anything for the person in terms of activity or that. It's just storage. So it's a lot of extra load that you're carrying, and it's a lot of extra work on the body to keep that tissue healthy and alive.
So with that, with you saying that this is alive and that it's being fed by cells and organisms through in our body, putting more pressure on our heart, the flow of the blood, everything that the body is doing on a daily basis, when you start to gain fat in 21 days, let's just keep it at that 21, 3 week mark. Just
guess.
People get on these fad diets and their mind tells them, well, I'm going to lose a lot of weight fast.
Yeah.
I'm just going to quit eating like a human.
Yep.
That is kind of defeating the purpose of what we're talking about. And I want to make sure I understand this, that if you're not working out and putting on lean and you're just taking away calories and the energy sources for your body, you might be taking away some of those sources to keep adding fat by not eating bad anymore. But in the long run, you're really not putting on the lean muscle mass that it's going to take to keep this off in the future. Because I would assume that if the body's always working, the lean muscle mass is going to fight your ability to gain fat. Yep. If you have more lean. Yep. Does that sound right?
Without a doubt.
The way I'm explaining it?
Yeah. So it's really hard to put lean muscle tissue on, right? It takes work. It's not just go to the gym one day and you take the next 10 off. It's consistent, long-term work. After age, let's even extend a little bit. After age 22, 23, 24, you're starting to break down, right? We're never going to be as efficient with our body as we are in that late teens, early 20s, right? Our bodies have been living for 20 years, cell maturation, skin, you know, looking as good as it does, lean tissue being as good as it does, it's going to start dropping off. Now, exercising, taking care of yourself, that delays that, right? It's going to slow that process. If we're not doing any of that, then that process speeds up. So we're constantly breaking down, right? Our cells aren't reproducing as quickly or as good as they used to. Our bone density is dropping off, right? So those things are changing for the worse, right? We're probably progressing in that fashion. We're going to die at some point. If we're not doing something to counter that, it's worse. The problem with those quick diets is if we're cutting down calories and we're not doing something to preserve our lean tissue, that lean tissue might be broken down as easily as the fat is to be used for calories / saving our life, keeping our systems running. And then if you do start eating the way you used to, what are you going to gain back? It's not going to be lean tissue. It's going to be stored energy, fat. So that's where the problem is. That's why so many people end up in a yo-yo diet. It's not consistent enough. They do something that's quick. They lose a lot of water weight. They see the scale change. Body doesn't change much. They lose some lean tissue. Now they go back to bad habits, whatever those habits were. Gain back a few more pounds. Well, it's not the lean tissue they're putting back on. Now it's all fat, water weight that they're putting back on. All of a sudden, they've created this pattern that's just worse, worse, worse.
So now I'm holding a pound of lean.
Yep.
So going along what you just said, Rob, if I have a bunch of this and I want to use the analogy or I want to use the example of a bodybuilder or somebody that was a bodybuilder, but now you see them start to do what you just said. They start to mature.
Yep.
And they're not lifting weights as much. Their body can't keep up with those rigorous workouts.
Yep.
They might have had supplementation and illegal supplementation at one point. Their bodies start to look weird too when their lean starts to break down where they can't support it anymore. Does this make sense?
Like, I see where you're going.
You see an older man that was jacked as a guy. Yeah. His body tends to look a little bit funny in ways, right? Yeah. They can't. They can.
Yeah.
What is that telling us? That can you develop too much lean? Like a lot of these bodybuilders that get gigantic, is that smart to do as opposed to getting gigantic fat? Is it just as extreme to have that much muscle on your body, that much lean? Can that be very detrimental to your health as well?
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, even, and I'm a little biased probably, but I think if you get too big, that's a lot of work that your body has to do on the daily, right? So it's harder on the knees, maybe harder on the feet because you're carrying a lot of extra weight. So it depends on what you're using it for. If it's just completely aesthetics and you can't keep that up, Chad, then that's kind of maybe where you're going with things are going to look funny, like their shoulders aren't as full as they were. So they sag a little bit, or their chest, the guys, you know, who get the really big chest, and all of a sudden they're not maintaining that lean tissue. And all of a sudden that's starting to sag and look more like maybe a little more like a female's chest, you know, and just in terms of they're not holding it up as more. Gravity looks like it's working really hard on their body compared to somebody else's. So, but that can be hard too. Yeah, I think having too much lean, there's a couple of newer studies out now saying with some of these NFL guys that there's a certain amount of lean tissue they should have, because after a certain level, it might be more detrimental to performance than beneficial. So yeah, it could go either way. Again, heart's got to work harder if you're carrying that weight. And I think the other thing is, as we age, let's say you're really carrying a lot of weight, or you're a bigger person, as we age, we all become that fall risk, right? So you're carrying more weight and you're not used to being strong and keeping that strength up, that can be a bigger risk for falling because you might be a little top heavy.
So when you're talking about, I want to stay on the, before we get back to fat, lean is healthy. And there, we've talked about Dr. Peter Thiel and the studies that they're talking about 200% longer longevity in life.
Yep.
But explain to me a little bit more, what is the balance you want of, what would I have to do is, can you get in water and get a test of lean muscle mass? Can I find out exactly how much of my body is lean? Mm-hmm. And then once I reach that point that where, okay, Rob says that I only want to be 40% lean muscle mass. I don't know what the number is. Do you know what the number is? Like, we know what body fat should be.
Yeah, yeah.
We know that, you know, what body fat is unhealthy when you start getting around 7-5%.
Yep.
Well, what's healthy for lean?
Well, so it would be the opposite, right? So, and not that it's all lean, Chad, because we've got the muscular system, we've got the skeletal system, we've got the organs and that. That's all factored in. And really when they break it down is they say lean tissue, you know, so if I get you at 30%, 30% is considered the body fat. The other percent is they consider it lean, but in that we know your head is not lean tissue, your brain's not lean tissue, your organs. So it's just really we look at the body fat number and then go from there. A DEXA scan is the gold standard to figure out those numbers. And that will give you a better number because it'll get some of the inner fat that we talk about, the fat that's around the organs and protecting there. And I should back up and say, there's a certain amount of fat that we have to have because it is protective and it serves a function, right?
We have to have.
So for males, probably somewhere between 6-10% is the amount of fat we have to have. So fat helps our skin, helps our nails, helps our hair. So all that superficial stuff, it is the outside lining of our nervous system. So everything, all the nerves that go to the muscle and send that signal to fire, that's the outside lining. That myelin sheath is fat. There's fat that's around all of our organs, and that's essential for protective measures. And then having a little bit on the outside is protective. You know, you can see the people who get almost too skinny or do something to get too skinny, it makes their skin look funny. It's probably because the fullness of that skin and the little bit of superficial fat on the layer is changed. And so it makes their skin look really, really wrinkly, like an elephant, you know, kind of thing. So there's a certain amount we have to have. Men, you know, you might be able to get as low as 4, but you're probably going to look at some issues going on there. So really 6-10% is great depending on what you like to do. Females, it's a little higher because they have reproductive properties that they have to do and mammary glands that are mainly fat. So they have to have a little bit more fat. So some fat is good, right? I don't know if there's anything, Chad, where they actually take a look and just look at how much actual lean tissue they have, because they still, when they do that DEXA scan, they're really just separating out the fat from the rest of the body. So we do know how much a femur weighs, and we know how much a rib cage weighs. So you could fully take that out. I don't know that we would need to, for the general population, really break it down that much. You take the fat amount at 24%, you're going, okay, so you've got 75% of you that's working for you. We need to keep for us, we need to be at 10% for sure. So we can make some changes there. We've got some room to play, right? We've got some extra fat that if we want to get rid of, that would probably be better for everything. And ultimately, to answer your question, when I look at how much fat a person's carrying, it kind of depends on what they like to do, right? So there's definitely optimal levels, and those charts give you some levels. But if somebody's an ultra marathoner and they're at 20%, we know if they train like an ultra marathoner, they're going to get quite a bit lower. They're going to be getting down to 10%. But if they're coming in and that's their goal is to be an ultra marathoner or somebody who's doing that all the time, we know they're going to be proceeding to get really low with their body fat, but we want to keep some on there because having some is going to help them with that event.
But they're going to be burning.
They're going to be burning a ton of lean by running so much. Yeah, they are going to burn some lean during those races.
Even in training, though, I would think.
If you're running hundreds of miles a week,
you're going to burn a lot.
It's hard to maintain that lean.
Stupid.
I agree. That was the quote on my wall, Chad.
Running will kill you.
Running will kill you.
So if you're saying 6 to 8 is needed, 6 to 9% is needed, and you're saying that it's based on what you like to do, like, where should we be? Because you're nowhere near, as a 50-year-old man, what the BMI tells you that you should be, not to be considered fat or obese, I would guess. Because I know that is the body mass index, is that the thing that says if you're 6'1" and you should weigh
this much,
and you're a male, you should weigh 145 pounds or whatever?
We're all obese
almost, comparatively speaking.
Yeah.
If you judge it off, is that the body mass index?
That's BMI.
So
you got it.
As a trainer,
BMI is a height and weight thing.
Do you go off of it at all?
Hardly ever. So sometimes you'll see that one get used in a doctor's office, depending on your physician. Sometimes they'll use it. That one would, you know, we always use the analogy, this one puts you in the ballpark. So that one might get you into, that one puts you in the parking lot, okay? Then we do the body fat. That's going to get us a little bit, that I use that one in my situation, because that's going to give us a way better representation of where you are. Now, we might use those together and go, okay, I'd like to see you down at this weight. Here's some areas where I'd like you to be. We're all different, right? So as long as we're getting close to that. So if we're 6'5", 300 pounds, it's too much, right? So the 6'5 might just say, okay, if you're 6'5 and your waist is this big, you need to be 240. Now, 240 might be pretty skinny for certain people. So we're going to play with that BMI number and your body fat number and go, okay, you know where you look really good at 6'5"? Let's shoot for your 300. Let's get you down to 280. My ultimate goal with you is 260. And if we get down there, then let's see how you feel. You know, my guess is you're going to feel way better if we get you to 280 from 300. You're going to feel way better there. Then we start to get you down from there and you get to 260 and you're like, I've never felt this good ever. Then we might keep it there, or you might go, you know what, I feel really good, I want to get down a little bit lower. Now, of course, that's not happening in 6 months, right? That's going to be a process. That's probably over the course of a year, year and a half, 2 year kind of thing, to lose 40 pounds the right way.
So what should our goal be then, Rob, in our 40s and 50s of where do we want to get? I know, let's 6'5 is pretty tall. What's the average? 5'8, 5'9, 5'10? What's the average male?
I think average right now would be somewhere 5'9, 5'10.
5'9, 5'10 average male in America.
Yep.
Where do we want to be? I know there's all these charts.
Yep.
But with what you've seen personally, where do we want to be if we still want to live life?
Yep.
We want to have some good food here and there.
Yep.
The carnivore diet's cool, but you don't get to eat lasagna.
Well, you could. Time and a place.
Well, I'm just saying, but the carnivore means all meat.
Oh, right.
But if you go that way. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's all these opportunities to do things like, but if you just want to be regular.
Yep.
And you want to have a lasagna once in a while, and you do want to have a piece of bread once in a while. I would say the biggest way that people lose weight in this country has been the Atkins mentality since that thing came out, of cutting out carbs. Carbs are the enemy. Starches are the enemy. Paleo diet's it. Carnivore diet's it. You got to eat, you know, the things that are on these diets. But once in a while, I like to have a smash burger with the bun and not just the meat.
Yep.
I like to enjoy the experience of that. Or a hot dog at the ballpark. I hadn't eaten carbs in 6 weeks. But then I went to the ballpark in Arizona at spring training last week, and I wasn't going to leave the ballpark without having a freaking hot dog.
Sure, right. Got to.
But, so where should we be? Where should I be right now? I'm 5'10".
Okay.
Where should we be as men?
So, let me back up a hair, because I think the diet with the least return rate, recidivism rate, is the points one. So the
Weight Watchers?
Weight Watchers. Okay. So
I've never been on it. I just knew that.
Weight Watchers is supposed to be one of the best ones because they change habits, right? So there's a lot of return from your people who do the paleo or the Atkins diets. They seem to go back to normal habits most of the time. So we don't even have to use you, Chad. Let's say 5'10". My guess, I don't have one of those charts in front of me right now. My guess, Chad, it's going to say if you're 5'10", typical male, you need to be between 165 and 175. Now, what I would say is not all of us fall into that. Those charts were built off of a lot of people. It was an insurance thing. They just got general numbers. Again, this might be 80 years ago. So this was one insurance company compiled all the numbers. You're looking at a way different population 80 years ago than you are now, right? So, and not that it wouldn't be better to be back in those days and be a little bit leaner, but there weren't as many athletes. There weren't as many kids going into weightlifting. There was almost no weightlifting like we know it these days. Some of them were doing calisthenics and bodyweight stuff, but there was not a lot of true weightlifting. So things have changed. Some of those 5'10 people, I'd say, yeah, you should be 165, 175. They might come into me at 200. That might be their goal. There might be other people, Chad, who are coming in at 250, but were very athletic as a young man or woman, did a lot of stuff and have just a different body build. Now, if we do their body fat and do a few other things, I might look at them and go, you know, ultimately you're weighing 250 right now as a male at 5'10". This chart says 165. We're not going to get there for quite some time. Let's get you down. Ultimately, I might want that person at 200. Okay. But let's get down to 225, because I guarantee if we do this right, your lean tissue is going to go up and your body fat's going to go down. And then let's get some numbers on you then. Let's see how you feel, how you sleep. Let's do some blood work, because let's say you were one of those people who was lucky. You didn't have any problems, no cholesterol med, no cholesterol issues, no blood pressure problems, nothing, no meds there. You were pretty lucky, but we know your body fat's 35%. Let's get that down to 25%, get you down 20 pounds, take some numbers, take some things and see how you feel. And at that point, you might go, I feel really good here, but let's go a little further. I would probably be pushing that person to 200 pounds. Now, that's still 25 over what the BMI chart says. But if they are ultimately carrying a lot of lean tissue, they're not any meds, they're not using any meds, the numbers on their blood work are pretty good, I have pretty good faith that we're going to be pretty good for a while.
You're tracking the right direction.
And if we were to, Peter Attia's big thing right now, and I agree with it, get as much lean tissue as you can early on, because that's going to serve you well long. It's going to build your bone density, which we've got a huge bone density issue in this country, as well as a body fat issue. So if you do those two things, you're going to be fighting a bone density issue and a body fat issue down the road. And then
do what two things?
Maintain your lean or build a lot of lean. That's going to help your bone density is what I was saying.
And it'll keep your body fat down.
And it's probably going to minimize your body fat if you do things to do that, right? If you're watching your diet. If you do those things, then when you get into your 30s and 40s and you can maintain it and keep it in a decent range, that's going to serve you well way down the road. Because that bone density is built early on in life. And I think it doesn't just go away. You know, we look at these third world countries, they don't have bone density issues. We have them because we sit around all the time. They're walking down to the market to get their food. They're eating the right things. They're doing so many of these variables correctly that they don't have some of the problems that we have here. And part of our problem is that food is in abundance, right? But some of the foods that are in abundance are sitting in our pantry, chips, cookies, cereal, you know, things that are easy to grab, but probably aren't very good for us. And one other thing I wanted to mention while I see you looking at the fat and the, because I think your audience will get this. When you go hunt a deer, how much fat do you have to remove from that deer to get to harvest the meat?
Very, very little.
It's hardly any,
depending
right?
Depending on what kind of deer it is. I mean, if you're hunting a whitetail that doesn't move around as much as a mule deer does out in the big mountain ranges, then they tend to get fatter because they're just standing in a cornfield and then going back and laying down. So, I mean, during the rut, they're going to move around a lot and lose some weight. But you're right. I mean, mule deer have very little fat content on them most of the time, unless you find an occasion where there's one in an alfalfa field and he doesn't have a huge radius that he or she covers it.
Yeah. You know, so that's
taking steps is huge.
Right. So they're moving, they're doing, they don't necessarily overeat. You know, we might do that with our meat population because we're growing them for a certain period of time, and then we've got to get the meat off the bone to,
right.
That's what's going to pay the bills, right? But ultimately, if you're out hunting, what you see in your left hand there is really what you're getting. There's hardly any fat that you need to remove because that animal is living a normal life, right? It's doing what it needs to do to function and live. And what you see when we do a body fat on somebody is we're seeing a representation of what they do on the daily. And sometimes you see a lot of that in on the shelf there, that body fat that's there because it's there to be stored for a day when they really need it. The problem right now in our first world country is we've got access easy. We drive, we sit, we grab,
you're
we
get
eat,
out of your car
we,
to get a bad
don't
hamburger.
Have to do any of it. So
you
so
can eat a bad hamburger a while you're sitting and driving to your meeting that you're going to go sit at more.
Right. And drink three Big Gulps.
Yeah. So if you have this and you have this is representing the lean is 1 pound, the fat is 1 pound, but the lean takes up less room than the fat does, but not a ton less room.
Probably it's three almost quarters.
Half.
Yeah, between half and three quarters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I'm working out a lot, I'm not talking me, I'm talking just
in general.
In the first person is no. Well, is that not that's not correct grammar? I'm trying to relate to the population as a whole. If we all worked out a ton,
yes,
and we're developing this lean muscle mass.
Yes.
They always say muscle weighs more than fat because this does, but it doesn't take up as much room as fat.
Right. Well, a pound is a pound.
A pound is a pound.
So right.
That's a great way to put it.
It's more dense.
Then how hard is it going to be for somebody that develops a bunch of lean and works out a ton to weigh less if a pound is a pound? If you're developing your muscle and you're working out and you're in good shape and you can move and you're explosive.
Yep.
But your body fat's still at 18.
Yep.
And you still weigh 225 pounds or 230. Yep. How do you lose weight if you're putting so much muscle mass on?
Well, that's a great question. Remember, I just said putting the muscle mass on isn't easy.
Isn't easy.
So we're not, if you're already carrying a decent amount of lean and you're at 18%, we're probably not putting on a lot more lean, right? And at that point, we probably need to change our workout a little bit more to get rid of the fat if that's our goal and change our diet. That's where the diet's going to come in really handy because then we're not, like I said, putting on a pound of lean is pretty easy when you're in your teens and 20s. When you're 40, 45, 50, putting on a pound of lean isn't easy. If you're already carrying a lot of lean, then we're going to work on diet and how to burn more fat, but maintain that lean. So we're not trying to put on lean. If you're somebody who's just coming to the gym and you're that skinny fat person, we're trying to put on lean, right? So it's initially going to be, hey, I jumped on the scale. I'm not losing any weight. Yeah, you're good. Let's keep going. Okay. And in about 4 weeks, let's test your body fat. We may not see a real weight change, but we might after probably more like 6 or 8 weeks, see a nice little change on pinching you by 3%. All of a sudden we're going, okay, when we did those calculations, you add 6 pounds more fat than you do now. Yeah, your weight didn't change a lot. So we've hopefully put on 2 or 3 pounds of lean in this process. We've lost a little water weight. But right now, when I check your body comp, we've lost 6 pounds of fat. And usually that's enough for that person, Chad, to go, man, I feel better. I move better. This is, you know, when I have to climb the ladder at home or reach up into the cabinet, that's become way easier. So hopefully those are the things they grasp on. That's enough to get them motivated to keep going because the scale is they're going, but my scale hasn't changed. That's not a bad thing. How do your pants fit? Well, yeah, you know, I do have a little more room in my gut or we get people all the time that are like, man, I need a new hole for my belt because I'm already down 3 holes. You know, so those are big changes. Who cares what the scale says?
Yeah, but they do care about what the scale says, though, because the BMI says that scares us into saying we're way heavy compared to that. But so is it okay to weigh 230 pounds as a man that's 5'10" if they got a lot of lean muscle and their pants fit well?
Yeah.
I'm so confused about what we are supposed to weigh. Mm-hmm. I see college D1 baseball players that are 6'230". They got a lot of lean muscle mass on them.
They do.
Probably, I would guess, very low body fat percentage.
Pretty low, yep.
So why would we ever be told, I get the insurance and all that.
Yep.
But it's very confusing to me of what is okay. What is okay to carry around I know that you could walk out and get struck by lightning or hit by a bus. Yep. I know that you could have a heart attack just off a whim based on genetics.
Yep.
It's so confusing on what you should weigh. If you work out a lot and you're putting on muscle mass and you can move good in the gym, yep, and you're explosive and you can jump and you can push weight and you can, yep, pull weight, and you're getting your flexibility back, and you're saying all the things that you're saying about feeling better, and I can get out of my car, I can get off the couch without, yep, having to put a knee on the ground, and then, yep, and then hoist myself up with my other arm. What those are you supposed to weigh?
And those are all great markers, without a doubt, right? Those are all big markers, because I've seen people in their 60s that are having trouble getting up and down from the ground. The first thing I would say is those charts are dated, without a doubt. There's no doubt. Now, we've got to do our job to educate the person and go, okay, we may not be at 160. You know, that's okay. Then it's, how do we feel? How are our blood markers? Are we taking any meds? And are we working in the right direction? Those would be the biggies. So if let's say you're 230, we want to get down to 215, right? Let's work on things that are going that way. Let's clean up everything we can, right? We're going to clean up the diet. We're going to change our workouts. We're going to maintain our lean. We're going to try and just lose some body fat. But if we're doing those things, Chad, and we've done blood work and that's looking good, okay, maybe there's a couple little things to work on. We're not taking any medicines to control cholesterol or blood pressure, or we don't have any family history of that stuff, and we're going in the right direction, I think we're okay. Where it becomes a real concern is that 50-year-old who's quite a bit overweight, who has a desk job, hasn't been in a gym in 20 years, diet's really poor, the alcohol consumption is not where we want it to be, and they're having issues. They're having joint issues. They don't sleep. They can't get up and down from a chair without help. That's a problem, right? If we can take that person and just start working the other direction, that's huge. The first person that you mentioned who's doing those things, I'd say, hey, we still, if you're at 20% body fat, you're in the good range. But if we can get it down to 17, 18%, you might even feel a little bit better there. The other person, that other scenario, we've got some issues, because I'll be surprised if that person, you know, hopefully they've done some blood work, everything comes back good, but hopefully they're not needing cholesterol meds, blood pressure meds, heart meds. That's a problem. That's a long-term big issue that needs to be addressed immediately.
We're going to break here for a few commercials. I'm fired up. I appreciate y'all being here.
You say you don't have time to exercise.
The lie detector determined that was a lie.
Prioritize your health today to avoid health issues tomorrow.
Where it becomes a real concern is that 50-year-old who's quite a bit overweight, who has a desk job, hasn't been in a gym in 20 years, diet's really poor, and they're having issues. They're having joint issues. They don't sleep. They can't get up and down from a chair without help. That's a problem.
Jack Daniels presents This Life Ain't For Everybody is powered by Bad Boy Mowers. Mow with an attitude and up your landscaping game at badboycountry.com. Chad and Rob will be right back.
What's going on, everybody? Chad Belling coming at you. The Foul Life Podcast is proudly presented by the one and only Bad Boy Mowers. Out of the great state of Arkansas, their zero-turn design and capability is zero to none. I've had these mowers everywhere from California to Georgia, from North Dakota to South Texas. We've put them in situations where they completely perform day in and day out with their power, the sharpness of the blades. Every single bit of that zero-turn capability gives you the advantage, gives you the confidence to get the job done. And now they have added tractors. Our tractors are doing projects for us on a daily basis. All of our duck properties, all of our different dwellings where we live, where we make our livings, we depend on the Bad Boy tractor to get the job done as well. And now you can depend on the Bad Boy power in their new E-series of hand tools. The blower, the trimmer, pull saw, the chainsaw, the backpack blower. We use these blowers in our goose and duck decoy trailers throughout the season, all over the country, blowing out debris, branches, mud, leaves, making sure that we are working in a well-manicured, clean environment is our goal, and that's why we have partnered and depend on Everything Bad Boy. Again, out of the state of Arkansas, their mowers are American-made. We depend on them. I hope you do, too. Next time you're in the market for anything that Bad Boy offers, I promise you, you can depend on them. Bad Boy Mowers, the presenting sponsor of Benelli's The Foul Life. Hey everybody, you know we are a huge fan of Jack Daniel's, not just their product, but their mission, their culture, Lynchburg, Tennessee, the people. And we want to introduce you to the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. Join us at jackdaniels.com and learn about the Single Barrel Program, visiting Lynchburg, Tennessee, participating in a barrel tasting, a whiskey tasting, picking your favorite flavor, whether it's the burn in your mouth, whether it's the maple, whether it's the different combination of flavors that you are going to experience in each of the distinct bottles of Jack Daniel's Single Barrel. You're going to be able to choose the best one, your favorite one, and purchase that entire barrel. It all comes bottled in individual single barrel bottles. You get your own hanging name tag, brand tag, your logo on it. You can give them away as gifts. Go knock on the door of a landowner and say, thank you for letting me hunt your field. There's so many options with the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. We're proud to be part of it. We have introduced it to so many of our friends and family across the country, whether it was at a business, whether it was at a duck lodge, whether it was at a conservation event. It is truly an awesome program. Learn more about it at jackdaniels.com, the Single Barrel Program. We've been involved for the last 5 years. I'm looking at two of my barrels right now. We just got our 2023 barrel in the Single Barrel Rye. Absolutely mesmerizing. My brother Clint's Old Fashions with it speak for themselves. It's the Jack Daniel's Single Barrel Program. Check it out. Learn about it. I hope you decide to visit Lynchburg, Tennessee and get your own barrel. Thank you very much. It's rodeo season. I love the PRCA. I love the PBR. I love the Western cowboy lifestyle, farming, ranching, working cattle, mending fences, Chris Ledoux. Songs about rodeo, songs about the cowboy life. I enjoy it. Sometimes I wish I would have been a cowboy. I was a country boy. But I had asthma. I was allergic to horses, but I'm envious of the cowboy lifestyle. Living it every day, and that's exactly what Resist All does. From supporting farming, ranching, rodeo, conservation, outdoors, making products right here in America to make sure that the cowboy nation, the cowboy culture, the Western lifestyle is always taken care of. Living it every day. You can find Resist All in every rodeo arena and every feed store. If you're going in to buy chicken feeds, you're going to see a Resist All logo. Their family of brands with Cactus Saddlery, Cactus Ropes, it's second to none. Resist All cowboy hats. It's what we believe in. We wear them. We don't leave home without them. We have them to protect us from the elements. We scout ducks and geese in them. We hunt ducks and geese in them. We barbecue in them. We butcher in them. We process in them. We love the culture of Resist All, and we truly live it every single day in everything that we do. The respect that we have for the animals is the same exact respect that cowboys and cowgirls have for bucking bulls, bucking horses, the steer, the calves, you name it. The respect and lives that these animals are getting to live in the rodeo culture is exactly what we support. We're all about the ethics, and so is Resist All. Thank you, Resist All, for being the official cowboy hat of the Foul Life Podcast and the Foul Life TV. We started American Almond Beef with the mentality to be different, to set ourselves apart, and that's the road that we're on. Our feedlots are clean. Our feed is different. Our approach to making sure that our cattle and steers are raised right. There is a story behind American Almond Beef. Northern California ranchers and farmers, the almonds, the commodity business, everything coming together to provide a feed that allows for this marbling, the flavor, the texture, the finish. American Almond Beef is where it's at. I'm telling you, get an order placed, try it for yourself, and you will not go back to regular store-bought beef. AmericanAlmondBeef.com. Thank you very much for the support. We can't wait for you to try it.
Put down the snacks. You might be sabotaging your own healthy habits.
A bad diet can ruin a marathon runner. We've seen people do the Boston Marathon, Chad, who are 40 pounds overweight. You're like, how does that person run that much? So a bad diet can ruin any routine.
Welcome back to Jack Daniel's Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody in association with Bad Boy Mowers. Drop the fad diets once and for all and focus on building lean muscle the right way.
People get on these fad diets and their mind tells them, well, I'm going to lose a lot of weight fast.
Yeah. The problem with those quick diets is if we're cutting down calories and we're not doing something to preserve our lean tissue, that lean tissue might be broken down as easily as the fat is.
A tip of the hat to American Almond Beef, the provider, Cowboy Choice Feeds, and Corning Ford for supporting This Life Ain't For Everybody. Let's rejoin Chad and Rob.
So you're saying that, let's take your trainer, Blake, for example, that's probably 6'1", 6'2"?
I put Blake at 6'2", yep.
6'2", and he weighs 220 pounds.
Yep.
He's good there.
Totally.
He's got muscle mass. He's explosive.
Totally.
The charts say he should weigh 180, maybe.
Probably, yeah. Probably put him at 180, 185.
There's no way he's going to get to 180 and be able to do the things that he does.
No.
But so...
They also, those charts where I'd say they're dated, Chad, they don't take into consideration that he was probably bigger than he should have been, but he was trying to put on a bunch of lean muscle and a little extra body fat because he played college football, right? So in doing that, though... He's been efficient. You know, he'd be a good one to get blood work on because now he's getting into the almost to 30. So it'd be a good time to get some baseline blood work. Make sure he doesn't have any family history stuff there.
Does he have a lot of lean?
He does have a lot of lean. Yeah. So his body comp, I don't think we've done it recently, Chad, but I'd be surprised if he's going to be between 13 and 16.
Body so can fat. A guy 5'10 weigh 220 and have his same body fat percentage? Or is he automatically going to, I mean, what I'm saying is, can that guy at 5'10 be stronger than Blake because he has more lean muscle?
Could.
Or is that just automatically mean that he's got more fat if he's 5'10, 220? Because you see that a lot. 5'10, 220, 6'2, 220.
Oh, yeah.
What's correct to be? Is 5'10, 220 a no-no?
Well, it would depend. If it's a high school, or sorry, if it's a college athlete and he's playing and he looks pretty good, we do his body comp and his body comp's in a good area, he might be okay there. Yeah. But a lot of times, let's take an offensive lineman, for example. You take a lot of those guys who are pushing 275, 300, and their goal is to put weight on. You know, they've been told forever to put weight on. Some of that weight is not beneficial. You know, if that guy who's 5'10", 220 in your scenario is an MMA guy and he's solid as a rock and he moves really well. I mean, take Tyson back in the day. What was Tyson? He's 5'9", right? 5'9", 5'10".
225.
He was, I mean, if you did his body fat, I don't know that it was above 10. It'd be hard pressed to say that he had any issues. Now, of course, he was really young. He looks pretty good right now. Again, at 60? Is he almost just under 60?
57.
57?
He's fighting Jake Paul at 27.
He's looking really good again. So he's able, with that lean tissue that we were talking about earlier, building that base, he was able to get back pretty good because I think for a while there, he let himself go, right? Where he wasn't looking as good. But look at how quick it rebounded and came back because he's had that conditioning. He's got that lean tissue. That lean tissue doesn't just go away overnight. So you could be that weight and be pretty darn lean and pretty darn functional. Depends on what you're doing. Now, if we took somebody off the street who's 35, hasn't been in the gym forever, they're 5'10", 220. I'm guessing they're not 20% body fat or less.
Okay, here's a question I have that arose from a conversation you and I had the day before yesterday, I believe it was. I'm not going to say any names. How much difference is... How do I phrase this? I see somebody that I know that I would destroy strength-wise in a strength contest.
Okay.
I feel I would.
Okay.
I'm stronger than them. Again, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about anybody.
Yep.
I'm looking at them like, man, they're not that strong.
Yep.
I watch them lift. I'm like, man, they're just not that strong. They don't have a lot of explosiveness.
Yep.
But they're only 4 to 5% more body fat than me. At the same height... Same way, whatever.
Okay.
But I look at them like, they have way more fat on their body than me. There's no way that they're only 4% body fat higher than me, even though I know I have more lean than them.
Yep.
Because I personally have faced this before. I'm like, really? You're only 4% higher than me? Like, am I hiding fat good? Do people hide it and showcase it in a better way? Do they put it on in different spots to where they might not have a huge gut rolling over like a muffin top, but they might have more tit fat?
Yeah.
They might have more ass fat? Like, what does that mean that I'm only 4% lower? That guy's 24%. That ain't bad. But he doesn't push the amount of weight. Do you know where I'm going with this?
Totally. Totally. And I'll take that exact example real quick. That guy loves cardio. So he's doing enough to keep his body fat in a decent area, but he doesn't have as much lean. So that's why
Can
I would say
Can you get any lean from cardio? Your legs are going to get some, I'm sure.
A little bit, and you might maintain it. But this person has admitted that they're not comfortable in a gym. They just didn't do much in a
gym.
Okay,
so go on then.
So they need more lean, right? And yes, I mean, I think some of us do a really good job of hiding it. I think I hide it pretty well. You know, we're going to do some fat pics today on me and see what it looks like. And then maybe tonight we'll do skinny pics on me because we're playing around with something at the gym that we just want to show people. So some people do hide it, but I think if this person didn't do cardio like they did, Chad, you would see that body comp being way different, right? But it, then at this point, it's going to come down to lifestyle.
Wait a minute though, Rob, because you say they have, you mean they've done cardio a ton in the past? Because if you love cardio and you do a lot of cardio, there's no way that you would ever get a belly, a bigger belly because
with all those calories you're burning with cardio? We say this all the time. A bad diet can ruin a marathon runner. We've seen people do the Boston Marathon, Chad, who are 40 pounds overweight. You're like, how does that person run that much? So a bad diet can ruin any routine, training routine.
So if
that person's burning 3,000 calories a day doing cardio, but they eat 4,000 calories a day, which one's going to win out over time?
Has this certain person admitted to a bad diet too?
Yeah, for sure. Because right now we're gonna do a lot of work on the diet side.
So you can be a avid cardio guy and still develop a high percentage of body fat, even though you're burning. If you do cardio every day, you're burning a lot of calories.
Yeah,
it just depends on what you're putting in your body.
You got it.
It makes total sense.
You've seen guys out there riding a bike and they can go for days. They're just like going. And then they get off the bike and I'm like, well, his body's not as good as mine. Well, it doesn't mean when he's done riding the bike, he doesn't go have a six pack of beers and, you know, a couple other things. So a poor diet can kill. I mean, I know people who gave up running because they joined a running group and they're in pretty good shape. And they're like, man, there's some people who are so out of shape and they just run right by me. So, you know, it's some athletes are you know, born, not made, you know, they just have a running thing, but they could be 40 pounds overweight and just kill the running. They'd kill me in a run because I don't run very much, you know, because I already told you running will kill you. So they're really efficient at running. It's almost like we talked about before, Chad, when you first learn how to play racquetball, you burn a shit ton of calories because you don't know where the ball is going, right? So you're all over the place. So when you're first learning a sport, you're way more active than when you get efficient at it. The guys who are really good, they stand in the middle of the court and they just start sending you all over the place because they know where the ball is going. They just sit in the middle and don't do much. The first guy is burning 1,000 calories playing racquetball for another. The second guy's burning 100 calories because he's really efficient. He knows what to do. He's so good at it. He's efficient. That's a good point. He doesn't go out and kill it. You know, he only burned 200 calories. He used to burn 1,000 when he was doing it. Now he only burns 200, but he goes and eats the same meal that he's used to eating. Now he's way out of balance again.
I want to stay on this comparison that we're doing.
Okay.
To put on lean muscle mass in your 40s, you already said that your body is never going to be as good as it was at 18 to 23.
Without a doubt.
I would think that the primal area of an athlete is probably older than that because you get more qualified and more mature in your muscles and you become a better athlete later in life, more efficient.
Well, and I think a lot of that, though, is just the brain, body, smart, connect. Yeah.
So it's not when you're in your prime as an athlete, I don't want people to think Rob means you're never going to be as good of a baseball player at 30 that you were at 18. You're going to be better at 30.
I think you can be like Tom Brady and still have a great career at 43, but he's way more smart with what he does now than when he was coming out of Michigan, right? I mean, he's like, I'm not gonna try and outrun that guy anymore. I know how to check off receivers better, and so you just get your craft. You get way better at your craft, like you are with your work and what you do. You're not going to spend a lot of time doing little stuff that you can have somebody help you with because you're going to do the big stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So how far behind the gun or the envelope is a 45-year-old man going into the gym to lose body fat? How is he going to maintain that with being behind the gun to be able to develop lean? Because you already said that it's harder and harder to develop lean. Yep. Is it ever too late to start?
Nope. They've done studies, Chad. They actually, probably one of the bigger areas that they studied was people in their 80s, people who were at an assisted living facility and they'd add some weights to it and do weights. It's never too late. Those people, the amount of where those people got back to was crazy numbers. Like it's almost like they reversed the aging process by 20 years because they were able to put on, you know, almost double their lean tissue. You know, they hadn't done something in so long. They were at this amount of lean tissue. It's almost like they doubled it. So not that they can't put on lean tissue. It's just that it had gotten so atrophied, they kind of got back where they had. If I see a 40-year-old who's never done anything, it's going to be a process. If I see a 40-year-old who is a high school athlete, college athlete, it's amazing how quickly some of that stuff can come back.
Really?
That person who hasn't done anything. I mean, I tell people all the time, learning the gym, because they may not have grown up with the gym. They may not have grown up with weights, how to squat, how to do a push-up. It's work, right? There's going to be a big learning curve. The bottom line, the biggest thing I think is consistency. If we can get them to change their diet, make some tweaks there, start to add steps to their daily routine, get out of their chair and start moving more, start being more active around the house, just daily doing more stuff, and then add in the gym, they can make huge changes. They can make huge changes. Now, would it be as easy for them as the guy I just said who was 20 from 18 to 22 was in the weight room, was playing sports, was doing stuff, then let himself go? No, it's amazing that muscle memory, having that lean tissue base, having some of that bone density that they acquired early on, how much easier it is for that to come back.
So it's never too late.
Never.
What would the, let's just take me again. I want to use me as an example. You've been saying a lot, let's take Wednesdays off and not go as hard on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Am I being a detriment to my overall results that I want by being too bullheaded not to? I mean, I go 5 days a week when I'm mm-hmm. in town.
Yeah.
And then I move on the weekends.
Yep.
Is that too much as a guy that's getting into midlife? I'm almost 50.
Yep.
Is that too much? Is there such thing as too much exercise to break down your lean, or to be too tired to where your body just stops working? Because mm-hmm. like yesterday, I didn't feel good in the gym.
Yep.
I was like, man, my legs are weak. Like, yep. I don't feel good.
Yep.
But the day before, I felt awesome.
Yep.
Last week, I felt awesome.
Yeah.
The week before, I felt awesome.
Yep.
Is it too much? Can I, when you age like this, should you only go twice a week or one day a week or
no.
3 days a week?
No. If you want to maintain and maybe go a little bit of one direction or the other. So maintenance, dropping off a little bit or increasing a little bit, you might be able to do that with 2 days. Depends on where you're starting. I want you 3 to 4 days. And really the reason I said that, Chad, was more just reading you and noticing that by Wednesday, so coming in back to back days, it's tricky for anybody. So a lot of the bodybuilding routines are 2 days on, day recovery, 2 days on, day recovery. So I was just reading you and going, you know what? If we made Wednesday just an easy day, and maybe Wednesday you get a little bit more of your work done and you don't spend the time to drive down and see me, and we give you a little home routine that's, you know, some recovery stuff, but maybe some push-ups, lunges, just easy stuff, then we'll get more out of Thursday, Friday. So it was more that than I didn't want you to ramp up and by Wednesday start to get tired, and then Thursday, Friday, the workouts are dropping off a little bit just because we're trying to maintain a certain level of intensity. If you want to make changes and you're in your 40s and you're serious about making changes, it's got to be 3 days would be pushing it. You're probably looking at 4 days a week. Now, those 4 days a week don't have to be 3 hours in the gym. And I think that's where a lot of people lose it, Chad, is you can do a lot in 45 minutes. I mean, you and I jumped on the VersaClimber the other day. And if you don't know what a VersaClimber is, it's like a Stairmaster where you're climbing a wall. So you're using arms and legs.
Hard.
It's not a machine that's big or crazy. It's just you're going at it. It's whole body and you can't cheat. So Chad and I went back and forth on 20, off 20, on 20, off 20. We did that in what? That took us, we did two bouts of 5 minutes. So that was 10 minutes. In those 10 minutes, we probably burned 200 calories during, and there's probably another 100 after for just what happens after you work out. So that was 300 calories in 10 minutes. So we don't have to be in the gym for 2.5 hours to get results. There's things you can do as you progress where you can get a way better bang for your buck for the time you spend there than trying to be there all day. And you're there, you do one set, and then you're on your phone for 3 minutes and you're looking at social media, and then you do another set, and before you know it, you've done four sets and you've been there 25 minutes. We get four sets done, and usually we get four sets done, Chad, in what, 3 minutes?
Yeah.
So there's a little rest, and we're gonna make it an efficient time frame. So 4 days a week, but I'm talking 45 minutes to an hour of efficient work, but just doing more in the day is going to be huge for those people.
With the way that a workout should be formatted now, if you are just going to join a gym and you don't have a leadership of a trainer, and I know there's tons of content out there, and where either YouTube or social social media and go and find workouts. What should a workout consist of if you want to develop lean, burn calories to lose that fat? All in all, like a powerlifting workout is completely different than than a cardio workout or, you know, a workout to where you're going to throw in some yoga type posturing with downward dog or what you call an inchworm and a Superman or a Spider-Man. You mix them all together a lot. Is that because of my age? Does a 40-year-old, a late 40s or a mid-40s age male need that type of workout? Do I get anything out of just going in and pushing a ton of weight on a 8 sets of bench press and then some incline dumbbells, like the traditional workout that I used to do at Gold's Gym back in the day? Now my workout has completely changed. What should we be doing in the gym?
I think everybody needs a little bit of everything, right? I mean, and that makes it even more complex. I just made the water more dirty. It is very complex, but for you and me at my age, just sitting here doing the podcast we just talked about, I'm like, I need to walk for a while because I don't sit much. So my hips are tight, my low back's tight. So we do the mobility, right? We do the movement stuff that's going to keep us moving because you want to hunt till you're 85 and I want to water ski and snow ski or hike until I'm 80. So we got to have that mobility to do it. We got to be full body movements. So, and I'm not a huge fan of pushing a lot of weight because I don't know that it's that beneficial at our age. Now, if you wanted, it depends on your goals, Chad. But if we're just going to live longer, we got to move good. We got to maintain our flexibility. We got to be able to get up and down from the floor easy. And we got to have the strength to do it. And so we're going to do all of those pieces in a workout and a little bit of cardio. I'm not a huge fan of just getting on the cardio and doing it, but some people love 45 minutes. I'm going to watch this show. I'm going to bang out 45 minutes, easy treadmill. Cool. If that's what you want to do, that's great. That's going to be on your off day. We're not doing that in the gym. In the gym, we're going to do those things that you don't do enough of. Some mobility work, some strength work, some total body core, getting up from the down, or sorry, up and down from the ground. We're going to be moving things that are lifelike for the next 40 years of our life.
So you just made a comment in that, in your response, Rob, of I want to live until I'm 85 and I want to be hunting and you want to be water skiing at 80. But I could get cancer tomorrow and it could eat me alive.
Totally.
Does weightlifting and does it have anything to do with that in your opinion? Just weight, just consistent exercise, weight training, what we do in the gym, this mixed up workout that you're talking about, does it fight the bad cells? Does putting on more muscle mass and lean tissue fight that? Like I just saw, you know, a buddy, Toby Keith, died at 62 of stomach cancer. Toby was an athlete, but did Toby train enough and stay in good enough shape to prevent cancer? Can you prevent cancer through exercise, or is it just like the cards fall? Like it's your time, it's your time. I might get a pancreatic cancer stage 4 and be dead like my buddy was at 43 years old.
Right.
Like, is any of this have to do with that type of stuff? Or is it just, or do you just die when you die?
Well,
I don't want to get cancer. I don't want to have a heart attack.
Right.
I get heart attacks can be genetic and all of this can be genetic.
Yep.
But
are we doing this for any reason?
Yes.
I mean, or are we just wasting our time?
I want to feel good and I want to move around in my pool with my daughter. And plus I'm vain as hell. I see myself on TV and I don't want to look like a fat bastard, which I always do. So I'm always like overdoing my exercise. Even when people like my girlfriend or people are like, you look great. I'm like, no, I don't. I need to do this.
Yeah,
I deflect that.
What keeps you going.
Keeps me going. But what am I doing it for? Like I could be putting all this time in the gym and spending all this fuel money and all this shit to do all this. And then all of a sudden cancer goes, gotcha.
Yep.
Can any of this help prevent that?
And if we knew the answer to that one, right?
We don't know the answer.
Bazillionaires. But they do say 80% of the typical cancers through diet, lifestyle, and exercise can be prevented. Now, I don't know that we're going to prevent any of them because it could just be in the environment, in our plastics, in our cells. We all have some of it. Now, I'd like to say, between you and me, that we keep doing what we're doing for 30 years. But you're right. Who knows? I mean, we don't know. I mean, the container that I put my coffee in every day might be just leaking a little bit of metallic that's giving me a cancer in my stuff. We don't know that. And our bodies are so good at hiding it, and fighting it is one of the hardest things, right? Our body we can go along forever. And then all of a sudden you're like, I've got this issue,
but I can't
that
be
I didn't even know I had.
I can't be hypochondriac and think that I got a little stomach cramp. And
so here's the other thing I was going to say, you live your life, and I think I would almost put money on it. The people who are in better shape, if they do get cancer, have a better ability to fight it, not only physically, but mentally, because they've prepared and trained, they have a better outlook. Those people, and it's weird, but I think it's true, whether you believe in prayer or just positive vibes, the people who are positive and have cancer and go, I'm going to beat this thing. Fuck, cancer's not getting, they wear the shirt, F cancer, it's not getting me. They get up every morning, they do their same routine, they go do their treatments. 9 times out of 10, those people seem to kick its ass, right? Now, could it come back? Sure. Yeah, chances of it coming back probably higher. But those people seem to do pretty good. The people who are like, well, it's cancer, it's got me, what am I going to do? They probably do go that way, because in their head, they're like, well, it's cancer, what am I going to do? Peter Attia just came out and said, if we live long enough, we're all going to get cancer. I mean, it's probably going to be there. It's probably in us. At some extent, in all of us, we just don't see it. And I think the people who are healthy and doing things, and you know, you bring up Toby, and maybe his lifestyle and his career and his stress were so high that he couldn't keep up his fitness, and that was part of the problem. Who knows? I mean, that's, you know, there's probably, we could probably throw out 10 or 12 variables and lay them on the table and go, well, this is why, and this isn't why, and this, you know, it's really hard to say, because we're all so individual, and like I said, maybe what I put my coffee in is not the best container for it. You know, maybe the plastics, the microplastics out there are getting us all, because we throw a water bottle in our car and the sun leaches it, and all of a sudden you got plastic in your system, your body can't fight it. I mean, you know, that one's a crazy one.
But for sure, exercise and working out, if you're on Earth, if you value life, you need to do it. Like, your life is so much better with exercise. And I've said it before on the show, and like, if I start to gain some weight, vanity kicks in. From tying my shoes to messing with my daughter and being a little bit more out of breath than I think I need to be, a little bit higher blood pressure maybe will get me thinking.
Yep.
You owe it to yourself to feel the best you possibly can. And I don't think that being obese or being fat or having a big gut, there's no way you can be happy. Now, I'm not saying that mentally you can't be like, oh, I'm going to go have a great time.
Yeah.
But when you get out of the shower and you see your naked ass in the mirror, or you walk a little bit faster, you got to walk up bleachers at a football game.
Yeah, right.
I've seen that. Yeah, and you're just like, man, that can't feel good.
Yeah, or I've seen guys out of breath from their parking lot to the grocery store door, and you're
sweating.
Like, dude, you could. This is not hard work, and so I mean, yes, you and I are on the same side of that coin. It's the necessity of life. It's just, and it's not that you have to exercise. You can go work on the farm. I mean, look at those guys. Just daily do the routine.
I mean, I know ranchers,
the
guys who live in their 90s because they're active every
day. And they're busting it, you know, and they look great. And they might be able to go out and water ski, even though they don't water ski, just because they maintain that strength. It's all about, I think we can do a much better job of looking and staying like we are in our 40s into our 50s, 60s, 70s. Sure. We used to do that because the jobs made you do that. And now we've just gotten complacent with, well, I just send out a few emails and I'm good and my job's done and I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to catch up on this TV show. And just our daily activities are so reduced, or can be so reduced. That's why the gyms are there, right? So if we balance that stuff out, we're so much better off, and we can maintain. I mean, I feel as good at 55, Chad, honestly, as I did in my early 40s.
That's how we're ending it today. So much better off. We're going to come back with Rob Knatzer, Sierra Strength and Speed. He's got his own podcast here at This Life Ain't For Everybody, the Fit Life series. Triple S, check him out with his co-host Blake and Jake, and sometimes Coach Nate, and some other guests you got coming on. We had a great podcast today with Coach Jake McKinley, the head baseball coach at University of Nevada Reno Baseball. Great interview, talk, conversation. I like talking fitness because I believe in it. I believe how important it is. And if you can motivate one person through this, I think we're doing our job. Because Jen came in and high-fived me yesterday, 9 pounds down. She's so happy. But if she would have gained 9 pounds, she would have been like, I don't think I want to go to work.
I'm not telling anybody.
You know, Wade's fired up. He's in there. Tony's like, I feel Rob's great. Like people that get into it, no matter what time in their life or what phase of their life they get into it, they love it.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I ain't going to lie. Like there's times where I'm just like, man, I need to change my warm up because it's not working for me. I'm not as excited to be here today. I got to do something else. But by the time you get 20 minutes into it, it makes the rest of your day. Usually, and that makes me waking up
just
feeling lean. That morning starts off right. And if you think that looking naked isn't important, then you're crazy, in my opinion. Like, it's very important to ourselves, to our mates, to what God gave us, what our higher powers gave us. We only get one.
Yep.
We only get one.
Yep.
And we can all go the other way and become obese. And I've gained weight in my life to where I'm just like, you get that little fat pouch above your crotch. And I'm just like, I remember a comedian, Rodney Carrington from Oklahoma, doing a skit about the fat above his crotch. He goes, I mean, it was the funniest show I've ever heard. But it's true. I don't want that. And when I get it, I'm like, oh, time to turn it back on.
Yep.
Time to get back into a full routine.
Yep.
Because I'm never going to be a gym rat. I'm never going to be a big jacked, just bodybuilder. I'm never going to be looking like I did when I was 20 again.
Yep.
But you can still look good in your 40s, 50s, 60s and not change your body type that much.
And do what you love to do.
Yeah, and keep doing what I love to do.
Yep.
And I get more and more excited about it every year because the more you do it and the more experience you get, the better you become at it. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't feel good anymore when I'm finally getting good at it.
Yep.
You know, my brain is there. I'm like, oh man, I've got this process figured out. And then my body's like, yeah, but you're effed because you're going to pull every muscle now and your knees are going to ache and your joints suck and your blood flow, so your blood pressure sucks. And that's what working out does, is it keeps your body in tune with your brain.
Ready to go.
I don't want to be 80 with no mind.
Right.
But I want to be 80 with a good body and a good mind like Les Nesbitt. I had dinner with him last night and I looked at him. He just turned 83 and I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. He's all there.
He's all there.
It's
all
awesome.
There. All
it's
there. Awesome. That's Rob, Chad. This Life Ain't For Everybody. Thank you all for listening. Get to the gym. Get out and walk. Do something. Go flip a tire. Go get a sledgehammer. Go get an axe and cut some wood. It's going to snow this weekend in a lot of parts of this country. Go cut some firewood. Burn some calories. Peace out. See ya.
It's time to ditch that spare tire.
Like, do you have to be a big fat fatso to have a heart attack?
No. No.
If you got 60 pounds of fat on a skinny frame, that's detrimental to your blood, your heart, everything.
Everything.
Set goals, sit less, stay active, increase your strength, and work toward a healthier you. Oakley sunglasses, Lear toppers, Rigid lights, and Traeger grills bring you this episode of This Life Ain't For Everybody. We'll be right back.
We've talked about the Western lifestyle so much here when it comes to rodeo, when it comes to quarter horses, when it comes to ranching, when it comes to farming, conservation, hunting, fishing, outdoors, family, friends, memories, culture, reminiscing, the stories, the campfires. We love it all. We've brought you American Almond Beef. We've brought you Buck and Bull, and now we bring you Cowboy Choice. Are you a horse lover? Are you into rodeo? Are you into trail riding? Are you into ranching? Are you into farming? Horses are America. We love horses. We love everything about them, and Cowboy Choice is the ultimate blend of food to keep your horses healthy, strong, their energy levels up, and most importantly, keeping them happy through their entire time on earth. Again, horses are part of our family. They're part of our everyday life. And we live it every day at Cowboy Choice. So when you're in your retailer, ask them, do you carry Cowboy Choice? Because a lot of them are starting to. It will be the number one horse feed on the market in the next 2 years. Mark my words, it's Cowboy Choice. It's the best horse feed we have ever seen results out of. We tested it for over 18 months before we went to market with it. The effects that it's had on horses, the performance that we've seen out of horses that are eating the Cowboy Choice on a daily basis are head and shoulders above anything we've ever witnessed or experienced. Cowboy Choice, the official horse feed of the Fowl Life Podcast. You can find it at your nearest feed store, pet store, ranching store. Cowboy Choice, thank you all so much for trying it. We know you're going to make the transition. Thank you all so much for supporting Cowboy Choice horse feeds. We cook a lot and we like our wild game to be legit. Our recipes mean a lot to us. Out of the box, unorthodox thinking, that provider mentality. We eat what we harvest. We eat what we catch. I love the organic lifestyle and nutrition and diet. We eat wild game 7 days a week in one meal, sometimes two and three meals. My daughter, Alyssa, loves eating wild game. My nephew, Chase, all of our family has grown up and still lives on the value of sustainability. And Napa Valley Olive Oil is there for us. The Particelli family are hunters. They're fishermen, they're outdoorsmen, they're gatherers, they're providers. They are old Italian heritage that loves the outdoors. And this product, Napa Valley Olive Oil, located in the wine country of Napa, it's an amazing place. The store is amazing. The salamis, the cheeses, the fresh Italian meats, the sodas, the pastas, all of the different anchovies, everything that you need to do to be a complete outdoor chef. And even if you're cooking domestically, Napa Valley Olive Oil is bottled old school style. The brand is amazing. The flavor is amazing. The culture of Napa Valley Olive Oil, the friendship we have with Ray Ray and Dante and Jules and Stefano and the entire family, the entire Particelli clan means the world to us. Get online, NapaValleyOliveOil.com, and order the different flavored oils, the garlic, the lemon, you name it, they have it. It's Napa Valley Olive Oil. We're proud to have them in all of our recipes at the Foul Life TV on the Outdoor Channel, and the Provider Life. Look for more recipes at theproviderlife.com. Get yourself a provider cookbook. Napa Valley Olive Oil is all over it. Thank you to the Particelli family, and thank you all for supporting the brands that support us. We travel a lot. We're up and down America's highways, byways, thoroughways, cornfields, dirt roads, back roads, country roads. Love seeing that dust in our rear view. Love looking over and seeing the sunset, the sunrise, mallard ducks pitching in to a pond in Kansas, a coyote howling in Wyoming, an antelope standing on the side of the road in Nevada. We get to do this all through Ford trucks. Corning Ford, Paul, Francis, the entire crew, the customer service, the service department, the selection, the dedication to excellence and quality. The number one Ford Super Duty dealer in the West United States 5 years in a row. They're in the top 10 in the country, and they're in a little tiny town, Corning, California. 5,000 people deep, maybe, but the construction, the farming, the ranching, the almonds, the walnuts, the olives, the duck hunting, the fishing, the deer hunting and turkey hunting, predator hunting, you name it. Corning Ford is part of it. They support our lifestyle, their pricing. They refuse to mark them up. Give them a try. They'll deliver your truck anywhere in the country. They've delivered them to Alaska, Florida, so many to Nevada, so many to Northern California, all over Arizona and Colorado. They've delivered three to Tennessee. They delivered one to Minnesota to our friend Andrew at Wild Acre Kennels. It's Corning Ford. They support the outdoors, and there's nothing better than a Ford truck. These 2023 Ford Super Duties, F-250s, F-350s, the long bed, the short bed, the Tremor package. Watch your speed. Set that cruise control, because sometimes you'll look down and be like, I'm not going that fast. Something's got to be broken. And you're pulling a trailer, and you got a leered topper on the back of it. The bed of your truck is full. They're meant for hauling. They're meant for towing. Thank you, Francis. Thank you, Paul. There's nowhere better in the country to buy your next Ford vehicle or Ford Super Duty truck than Corning Ford. Thank you all for supporting them. We've had the provider mentality for a long time. Growing up and watching Dad and Mom cook wild game, whether it was an Italian lasagna or a spaghetti, I watched in awe, and I couldn't wait to be old enough to do it. Then we got to travel and meet all of these different chefs at all these different lodges in Argentina and Uruguay or Paraguay or Arkansas or Missouri, or Chef Mark Lindsay, who you hear on the podcast, This Life Ain't For Everybody, a lot up in Minnesota at Trapper's Landing, part of the Reed's family of brands. And I started to learn so many different unorthodox, out-of-the-box ways of preparing Mr. Billy Bogey's smothered deer steak at Prairie Wings Duck Club in Arkansas, or the duck empanadas at Duck Guides of Argentina. And they all became part of the provider cookbook, the provider mentality. At theproviderlife.com, our rubs, our original 10 in the ultimate pack, including the swine and the flaky, the spawn, the drop tine, the fowl, the crosshairs, the brit, the dragon, the sonora. Then we introduced the brand beef rub and the mother clucking chicken rub. And you can find recipes at theproviderlife.com. Check out the Provider TV on the My Outdoor TV app, Mo TV, part of the Outdoor Sportsman's Group and the Outdoor Channel family of brands. We got more coming. We got so much more coming. Good luck out in the field. Good luck out on the rivers. I hope you get those wild turkey nuggets in that pickle juice right away and get ready to throw down with some different rubs on them. The provider lifestyle. We're so honored to live it. Thank you, Lord, for letting us be outdoorsmen, hunter gatherers, conservationists, and providers. Again, theproviderlife.com. Thank you for visiting.
That's it for this episode of Jack Daniel's Presents This Life Ain't For Everybody, powered by Bad Boy Mowers and Tractors.
That's Rob, Chad. This Life Ain't For Everybody. Thank you all for listening. Get to the gym, get out and walk, do something, burn some calories. Peace out.
See you.
Listen to new and archived episodes of This Life Ain't For Everybody anytime on SoundCloud, iHeart, Spotify, and thislifeaintforeverybody.com. Thanks for listening. Now move.